This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
The Philadelphia Eagles are still the lone unbeaten team in the NFL. They took down Dallas, and now they stand at 6-0 for the first time since 2004 and for just the third time in franchise history. What is going on, y'all? Welcome to an episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com, the best Eagles podcast in the city. Maybe not the most consistent, but the best Eagles podcast in the city. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all that fun stuff over at the Philly Pod. If you are new to the show, appreciate you guys for checking us out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your podcast. Be sure to rate 5 stars, leave those reviews. Each and every one helps with the exposure of the show, bring it to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans, NFL fans, football fans alike. Appreciate you guys for being patient with us while we work some stuff out, and you know we're always going to come back though, so it's no big thing. Joined as always by my host. You can find him on Twitter at Stephen Conrad Jr. You can find him on Instagram at Real Stephen Conrad Jr. He is Stephen Conrad Jr. Stephen, 6-0, heading into the bye week, remaining undefeated, the top team at the very least in the NFC. How does it feel?
Well, I wanted to start off this podcast episode by apologizing, actually, to you.
Oh, I'm always game for a good apology. Go ahead.
The listeners deserve to hear this part of the story since you came out apologizing for the lack of our, consistency. But here's my apology. So, the biggest game of the year up until this point, 6 weeks into the season, against the Dallas Cowboys, right? Let's get that monkey off our back. I don't care if it's Cooper Rush, Troy Aikman, Tony Romo back there. We got to get the Cowboys monkey off our back. Jalen Hurts has got to beat the Cowboys. And obviously, right, we'll get into that. I got a little carried away from the jump. We're talking about the tailgate. I started doing shots well before the tailgate. Super long story short, I just wanted to give a shout out. You know, the 4th and John tailgate, absolutely amazing. We got to meet Jen Slay. Gail put together yet another banger in the 4th and John people. That was the best tailgate I've ever been to all around. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you know, me and Vic, unfortunately, weren't able to get into the game. So we got to get back to this man's house to watch it and do our job, which is break down and analyze the game and obviously be fans second. We're always fans second. My dumbass is fading away in the car as the game is on the radio. And I'm going to be honest with you. Next thing I know, we're back at his house. We're up 14-0. I have no idea how we're up 14-0. I'm on his couch somehow. And we're up 14-0. And, well, the rest of the night happened. And we won the game. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry for being damn near unconscious, I guess. Amen. No, that's not the word. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you were definitely damn near unconscious, but you allowed to have some fun, man. That's why they have NFL Plus. That's why you can go back and watch highlights and replay the game and look at the film and, you know, recollect. Because to be honest, when we were in Arizona, the half of that game is hard to, like, the game is incredibly hard to follow when you're, like, in there in person. So when we got back from Arizona, I had to rewatch that whole game anyway. So it's all right. It's all right. But since you mentioned it, yeah, we do want to apologize to all the loyal listeners and all the loyal fans. They have been reaching out on Twitter and Instagram all week long asking for the next pod. I feel honored that people legit are reaching out inquiring about the next podcast and look forward to it. We had went to Arizona for the Cardinals game. We came home and we had a lot of projects to catch up on, had to kind of get our lives back on track after partying in Arizona for 5 days. But we're back. We're back on schedule and we're going to keep this podcast moving. But just wanted to thank everybody who's been keeping up with the podcast and the content, whether you're reading my stuff at Liberty Line or watching the clips on IG, the graphics, whatever you're doing. Appreciate all of you guys. The appreciation does not go unnoticed. So before we get to the game, one quick shout out to our sponsor over at BetMGM Sportsbook. As we all know, the 2022 NBA season is here, and BetMGM has an incredible offer for new sports bettors to celebrate the return of NBA basketball. BetMGM's latest promo will give new users a free $200 when any team hits a three-pointer any night, any game. Steph Curry, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, Desmond Bane. It doesn't matter who hits a three. All you need is one three-pointer from any team to cash out for $200. All you have to do to take advantage of this offer is sign up for a new BetMGM account, bet $10 on anything, a money line, a spread, a player prop, a parlay, and you win $200 instantly when any team, any NBA team at all, just hits one single three-pointer. BetMGM is safe, secure, reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw cash whenever you want. So download the newly redesigned BetMGM Sportsbook app now with the link in our podcast description to win $200 instantly when any team hits a single three-pointer. Sounds like a good deal to me. How about you, Steven? Sounds like a can't-miss offer to me.
I'm very jealous that I can't use these new sign-up links. They're great.
Yeah, man.
Way better than the ones that I had.
Us as affiliates of these guys and promoters of these guys, yeah, are not allowed to do that. But please, guys, take advantage of it. Bet $10 on anything. Get $200 over at BetMGM. The offer doesn't last very long. Go ahead and take advantage of it. Now, gambling problem, of course, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So into the game, Steven Eagles 6-0. Down goes Dallas, like you mentioned. I don't care who was under center. Troy Aikman, like you said, Tony Romo, Cooper Rush, Dak Prescott, Ben DiNucci, bring him back. I don't care who it was. Jalen Hurts gets his first career win over the Dallas Cowboys, thanks in part to Darius Slay and his coverage. Of course, James Bradbury. And, of course, one C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
On 2nd-and-8, play action, rushes back, loads up. He is going deep, and it is intercepted, I believe. It is picked off by Gardner Johnson, running with the football back to the 47. What a play by Gardner Johnson.
The heroics of C.J. Gardner-Johnson clinched this game for the Philadelphia Eagles. In my opinion, he was snubbed for NFC Defensive Player of the Week. It looks like the NFL just got tired of giving the Eagles awards. They didn't want to give them a sixth award in a row. They gave it to cornerback Tariq Woolen in Seattle, who had a very good game himself, one interception and one fumble recovery. But Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, with a hand injury, went out with a hand injury, had a pretty bad gash on his hand, came back in, made the game-clinching interception to seal the win for Philadelphia. We'll come back to the defense later on in the show. But first, Steven, just the initial reaction is to take it down Dallas. You make a statement win over your division rival, regardless of who's playing. Dallas fans were in my ear all week. It's Cooper Rush. He's 4-0. Our defense. Oh, we get the most pressure on the quarterbacks. None of that matters because you're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. And if Lane Johnson was in that game, the Eagles probably win this by more than 9 points. Your initial takeaways and reactions from the victory over Dallas on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, the tone from Cowboys fans just completely flipped as soon as the game was decided. I mean, all week I was hearing them talking crazy about how we've never beaten them and Cooper Rush is undefeated and all this stuff. And now it's funny how after the game, now they're trying to bag on Cooper Rush instead of like give us credit.
Tire tracks on that man's back. Bus tire tracks on that man. They throwing him way, way under the bus. Cooper Rush. We didn't have Dak. You still didn't beat Dak. You know what's funny about this? We had to hear all offseason long about, oh, we dropped 51 points on our second team, mind you, our second team. And I had to hear about it all summer long. And now that we beat Cooper Rush, a backup quarterback, mind you, the Eagles won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, so don't give me the backup thing. Mind you, we beat Cooper Rush, and now it's all, oh, you beat a backup. Oh, this game doesn't count. Oh, this and that. I love how the narrative switches when it doesn't fit what Dallas fans would like it to.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally, I mean, that game is the game we just witnessed was far more impressive than that Dallas beatdown they had on our third stringers. I mean, we were literally resting guys. This game, the division was on the line. The first place was on the line. What are we talking about?
It was.
All the marbles. Everybody was watching this game. All eyes were on us and the Cowboys for that matter. And to no surprise, it seems over the last 20 years, every time Dallas has an opportunity to make a statement, they just fail to do so, even when it's against us, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. They had a chance to, I remember 2019 when Carson Wentz drug the no-name receivers, Deontay Burnett and all the other guys. And Dallas, what did they put up, 17 points or 14 points?
Yeah.
I forget what it was. I think it was 9 points. We won that game in 2019, 17-9, when the Dallas Cowboys are fully healthy. So I don't want to hear anything about health and this and that. The Eagles took care of business and beat the Dallas Cowboys to move on to 6-0 on the season, but it wasn't without us some worry. Go ahead.
Does Cooper Rush playing in this game have any like deciding factor on how Jalen Hurts performs against this Dallas defense, who many believe is a good as a top unit?
Does Cooper Rush play defense? Does Dak play defense?
No.
No. So the fact that Jalen Hurts was still able to, and we'll get into his performance later on, but the fact that Jalen Hurts was able to win this game against this highly touted defense that has been good this year. Michael Parsons has been great. Everybody else has been great. And the fact that it's all that, he hasn't beaten Dak yet. Dak doesn't play defensive line. He doesn't play linebacker. He doesn't play safety. So I don't want to hear any of that either. So that's a good point by you.
You know what the problem is?
Go ahead.
The problem is the way Dallas's team, and they're a good team, obviously, don't get me wrong. I think they're still one of the better teams in the NFC. The problem is the way they're constructed is they are very, very top heavy. Like if Micah Parsons goes down, they're in trouble. Obviously, Dak Prescott, I mean, Cooper Rush was 4-0 until he played us. So that's, you can sit here and decide if that's a factor or not. But we are the complete opposite. We're loaded. You look on this defensive line, everybody on that line is putting up just dominant numbers. That's why we're a top unit. Secondary, Darius Slay is probably the best corner in the league. James Bradbury, he's probably top five. You look at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who we literally just brought here maybe 2 months ago, I want to say, had a slow start. But now he's, like you said, he's in the conversation for player of the week, forcing two turnovers this week, a turnover the week before. Need I say more? I mean, I can keep naming guys. We have two number one receivers. Like if one goes down, we have the other. Jalen Hurts. And it's funny because heading into this season, I would say the narrative was Dak Prescott is definitely a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, right? Like Dallas fans were literally saying Jalen Hurts can't throw the football and all these
things. Well, there was once Carson Wentz came here, there was argument that Jalen Hurts was potentially the worst quarterback in the division. So Dak was, and we all said prior to the season that regardless of the roster construction, Dak is still the best quarterback in the division. And Jalen Hurts has definitely closed the gap this season. We'll have to see when they eventually face off, if the game even matters come Christmas Eve. Maybe the Eagles have the division locked up by then. But it's not far, the
comparison between the two. And obviously, we got to see, like you said, when Dak comes back, it's not far off now. So if that's the case, we're the far superior team. It wouldn't have mattered if Prescott played in this game.
Exactly. Definitely, like I said, Dak don't play defense, so I don't want to hear about that. But Cooper Rush did throw three interceptions. We'll get into the defensive effort in just a little bit. But to get into the situation where the Eagles jumped out to a 20-point lead, and then it gets unnerving, as is the theme of the Eagles this season. They let off the gas in the second half, and Dallas closes the lead down to 3 points. Cooper Rush had just capped off a 93-yard drive with a touchdown pass to, I believe it was, Jake Ferguson, their rookie tight end, and 14:39 was remaining in the fourth quarter. And at that point in time, or the offense had 6 total yards at that point in the second half, just 6 total yards. They're on rocky waters. It's not looking good. And we're all sitting here like, oh, don't tell me this is going to happen. But it was then that Jalen Hurts went on to listen to a quote, or reminded himself of a quote rather, by Stevens' favorite basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan.
I think about Michael Jordan when he said, put him away, MJ. I want to put him away. You know what I'm saying? You want to put him away. You don't want to give him an opportunity to make it a close game or get an opportunity to have the ball in their hands.
and Jalen Hurts did just that. Not dissimilar from the drive they had against Arizona, the Eagles executed a methodical drive that chewed up over 7 minutes of clock. I believe it was like 7:30 something, and it was only three passes to 10 runs, but Jalen Hurts made plays when he needed to. He converted a 3rd and 4 with his legs. He had a good completion to A.J. Brown that went for 22 yards. Brown was spectacular with his run after catch, as he always is. And they put the game away. And then C.J., of course, had the interception that clinched it on the ensuing possession. So, Steven, it's almost getting to the point where we feel like when the game is on the line, and the game, mind you, the game shouldn't be on the line with the way the Eagles play in the second quarter. But with the game on the line, it's almost at this point where we expect Jalen Hurts to put together a game-winning drive. It really looks like that when Jalen Hurts is on the field, if Jalen Hurts gets the ball last in the fourth quarter, my confidence level in him converting and winning this game has gone up astronomically with the way he's put together these drives in Arizona and again in Dallas on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well. It all depends on the opponent and the game plan. I guess you said it was a 10 run to 3 pass ratio. Yeah. Like, again, it doesn't really... Now you're talking about this drive against Dallas, right?
Yeah, it was the after Dallas closed the lead to 3 points. On the next drive, Jalen Hurts, you know, told himself that Michael Jordan quote and then went on that 7-minute drive. 10 runs to 3 passes and ultimately had the touchdown throw to Devontae Smith. To put them up 26-17.
Now I'd be surprised. You probably don't know off the top of your head that last drive in Arizona that put us up 3 to ultimately win the game. Do you have any idea what that ratio was? Any idea?
What was that? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The final offensive drive the Eagles had in the Arizona game that put us up 3. Obviously, we're held to a field goal. We wish we left with 7, but it ultimately was the game winning drive against the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was a 7-minute, 58-second drive. I'll find how many plays it was, but that was an 8-minute drive.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, literally back-to-back weeks. I really try to stray away from the whole hot take thing, man, but...
No, you don't. No, you do not.
but we sit here all the time when we're talking about quarterbacks and we compare Jalen. You want to compare him to Lamar, Kyler Murray, whoever else, Russell Wilson. Like, whatever, that's fine. Maybe he has aspects of their game, but to me... The combination of Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, I'm getting this vibe that they're kind of like, I don't want to say revolutionizing the game because they're really just playing to the strengths of the roster, but it's really their style. It's really their style. And when you look around the NFL, a lot of teams are kind of trying to mimic what the Chiefs and I guess you could say the Bills are doing. And I feel like when you look at the Eagles, they're their own team, obviously heavy RPOs. But it's all centered around the most important player on the field, and that's Jalen Hurts. He is the most important player, weapon. He's the leader of the team. The ball touches his hand every single play. He decides what happens, you know. And obviously, he's playing around a lot of other great players.
It's funny that you. It's funny that you bring up the Bills and the Chiefs because just to. If we were going to rank, like as we did on Fox Sports on Monday when we were both on. We rank the teams based on Super Bowl, so we can agree that it's basically Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles in the Super Bowl tier of teams, right? Mind you, there's not a lot of good teams in the league right now, but it's Eagles, Chiefs, and Bills as the Super Bowl tier, right? We would say Minnesota's also 5-1, but the Eagles beat them. I guess you have to pay attention to them. They have the Giants, who I don't believe in, but they're there, so you have to at least acknowledge them. So it's those three teams in the upper echelon of Super Bowl contenders. And Buffalo and Kansas City doesn't really have a strong running game. I know Buffalo's done a little better with it this year, but both of the quarterbacks are carrying both those teams. The Eagles differ from them on their rushing attack, like you mentioned. And if you can put together solid 8-minute, 7-minute drives, the Arizona drive, 17 plays, 7 minutes, 58 seconds, when you can do that in cold weather in the postseason, that'll take you deep. That'll take you deep into the playoffs. And I think that is where the Eagles, like you said, differ from teams like the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And because
guess what, man? That's exactly what they did in 2017, by the way, with two more of your traditional pocket passers and Wentz Foles.
That's right.
When the cold weather comes around, and obviously, I mean, you want to have some games at the link. Let's get some games at the link. You control that at the link in that cold weather behind this offensive line. Like, we're playing to our strengths. Last year, obviously, Sirianni did that. Like, he did it for two reasons. The strength of this team is the offensive line, but also, like, Jalen Hurts, that's kind of more of his style. And obviously, as we know, last season he wasn't the best throwing from the pocket, which is fine. People try to use that against him, but now he's doing both. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key here. Like the fact that Jalen Hurts is your quarterback and this is your offensive line, it'd be way different if they had more of a traditional pocket passer. They're not going to run, you know, this type of system with your traditional pocket passer, you know? Although, wait, I kind of just contradicted myself because they kind of did with Foles and Wentz.
Somebody asked me the other day. It was a different type, though. Somebody asked me yesterday, are the Eagles 6-0 if Aaron Rodgers is here? And mind you, Aaron Rodgers is still one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league and one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. But does this offense, not every quarterback can pilot this offense, and that's not saying Aaron Rodgers can't, obviously as great as he is, but it makes you think that the way Jalen Hurts commands and runs this offense, obviously as a running threat with the RPOs and everything, it makes you think that they might not be as effective if they just had a traditional pocket passer. And that's really, there's so many different layers to this offense. And that's what I've been most impressed with thus far into the Eagles 6-0 start, because every single one of their wins has come in different forms. You had the offensive explosion in Minnesota. You got punched in the mouth against Jacksonville. You persevered and won that game. You had the stout defensive performance with the million sacks you had on Carson Wentz. The Eagles have shown that they can win in multiple different ways. And if defenses are trying to dial in and stop one thing, they can kill you with something else. And I think that's what makes the team so dangerous. Against Dallas, as far as rushing, Miles Sanders, 18 carries, 71 yards. Jalen Hurts, just 27 yards on 9 carries. Kenneth Gainwell had 25 yards of his own. Boston Scott, 16 yards. A.J. Brown, 5 receptions, 67 yards, 1 touchdown. His first at the link, I believe. And Devontae Smith, 5 catches, 44 yards, and 1 touchdown. Devontae Smith caught every target that was thrown his way. So good to see on that. Speaking of the offensive line, you have mentioned Lane Johnson comes out the game. They throw in Jack Driscoll, who does his job as a backup, but obviously got exposed by Micah quite a bit, and more pressure was generated from that. But at the end of the day, DeMarcus Lawrence, Mr. We haven't played Jalen Hurts yet, and we still them boys and all this, and this man's doing front flips, and Jalen Hurts is making him look foolish. DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons combined for 0 QB hits and 0 sacks on Jalen Hurts in that game. I don't think Cooper Rush was on that defensive depth chart, so I don't want to hear Jalen Hurts can't beat Dak. But how impressive were you with the offensive line performance against this stout pass rushing defense that Dallas has?
Yeah, I mean, our best players took out their best players. Like, it's as simple as that. We didn't give them any opportunity. Like, obviously you mentioned their two pass rushers. Like, that was the point. It was almost like a point to target them. When you watch how the offensive line played, they went at these boys. And obviously, you know, Jalen Hurts juking out Lawrence, like you said. And this goes back to the point I made earlier, man. Like, they lack the depth that we have. You said, and it's to be expected when Lane Johnson goes down and he's replaced with Jack Driscoll. Like, obviously, Driscoll's going to be overmatched with, you know, Parsons and Lawrence coming at him. It's a completely different story. But it's the fact that We have the depth. That's why we're the better team. We're undefeated. We're number one in the NFC East. We're the best fucking team in the NFC, man, and arguably mm-hmm. the NFL for that reason alone. I'll just say that right now.
Yeah, no, they definitely top the NFC, and they can definitely compete with the likes of. In the power rankings, they're still below Buffalo because Buffalo obviously has some more impressive wins. They just beat Kansas City. But yeah, definitely best in the NFC right now. Switching over to the defensive side.
Oh, wait,
side.
Really quickly. Perfect. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you good? You're good?
Yeah, no, my next point was tying into the defense, so go ahead.
Nice. So defensively, James Bradbury and Darius Slay, week by week, proved to me that this is potentially the best cornerback tandem since Lito and Sheldon, and maybe even since Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor, for those people that are older than us and can go as far as back to remembering that cornerback duo. They were certainly more physical than Lito and Sheldon. But man, so they shut down Cooper Rush, who was 4-0 coming into the game this year, 5-0 for his career. We did hand him his first career loss. I don't want to gloss over that. Darius Slay and James Bradbury combined 13 targets, just 4 catches allowed between the two, 4 forced incompletions, the 1 interception by Slay, and a 12.7 passer rating when targeted. Cooper Rush would have had a higher passer rating if he threw the ball into the stands. That is how good Darius Slay and James Bradbury was in this game. That is how good Darius Slay and James Bradbury has been this season as a tandem. Darius Slay top five, James Bradbury proving he's top 10, and he's probably playing himself out of the Eagles' pay range next offseason, but we'll get into all that later on. How good does it feel to have a cornerback tandem that just shuts down guys? It's getting to the point where people, you obviously can't throw at Darius Slay, so you throw at Bradbury, but now Bradbury is so shut down on his own right that he is making QBs think, like, maybe I have to throw to Slay because I obviously can't complete passes in James Bradbury's. He's been a pass breakup machine throughout his career, and that has reigned true in his Philadelphia tenure thus far. Talk to me about this impressive cornerback tandem that is currently in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, this just ties into what I just said about our offensive players overmatching their defense. It's on the flip side here, too. You just mentioned it. Like, CeeDee Lamb, you know, you see the 5 for 68, but he was targeted 10 times, you know, and that's their number one guy. They felt like, you know, we can get rid of Amari, and I mean, rightfully so. CeeDee's a beast, and that's the point.
I'll say this. CeeDee Lamb probably has 50 more yards and a touchdown if Brandon Graham doesn't cause the pressure on the Gardner Johnson interception that clinched the game. If Brandon Graham doesn't get that pressure and Cooper Rush steps up into that throw, Lamb is gone. He's gone. He's in the end zone on that play. CD made a good play on the ball. CJ made a good play on the ball. But if Brandon Graham, he deserves as much credit for that pick as CJ does.
Well, and Michael Gallup, who I feel like has just torched us in the past, he was a zero in this game. He was completely taken out of it.
Slay was running the routes that Michael Gallup was supposed to be running half the night. So that's
just completely took him out of it. And he's a great receiver, man. He really is.
Yeah, he's very good. And it just goes to show you that the investment in James Bradbury has been great to this point. If you look at James Bradbury's numbers as a whole, since he's been in Philadelphia, James Bradbury has only allowed a 41.5 completion percentage while targeted. He's only allowed 88 yards in coverage, zero touchdowns, and quarterbacks have a 28.8 passer rating when targeting Bradbury this season. I expected a good CB2. We have a great CB2. Right now, Philadelphia. And I'll ask you this, Steven. James Bradbury's projected market value for a new contract next offseason, and this is obviously premature, but, you know, it's the bye week and we, you know, stuff we got to talk about. But his projected market value is $12.1 million per year. So you're looking at a three-year, $36 million, roughly $36 million contract, 2 years, 24, whatever, you know, the deal is. But he is definitely playing him to himself. He's playing himself into a large payday next offseason with whoever gives it to him. Would you bring back James Bradbury at that number, $12 million a year? He turns 30 in August. Or are you just going to ride it out this year, draft to keep Darius Slay because he has to get extended at some point, and draft Eli Ricks or Cam Smith, or whoever the target is going to be with one of those first-round picks, because they obviously don't need a quarterback anymore. So,
well, I'm going to be honest, man. They should draft a cornerback anyway.
Right.
Like, if I was running it, I'd bring him back and draft a cornerback. Like, just make that unit, like, the best you can possibly make it now and for the future. And that's what the Eagles are doing on the defensive line, by the way. They brought back Fletcher Cox, who were like, well, you know, he's been here for a while. He probably deserves one last season, but they drafted his replacement. Well, look, I mean, he's playing great. He's been productive. Some of the best football he's played in his career, arguably, right? So, I mean, obviously, I'm not a cap guru. Luckily, we have Howie Roseman. But the way I would do it is I would just overhaul that position. I'm paying him. He deserves it. The one game, yeah. I mean, I feel like there's been situations where Slay's been out, whether it's injury or whatever, taken out of the game, and he's filled in for that CB1 spot. Like, he's absolutely worthy of it. Find a way to get it done.
We also have a long list of players that are going to look for paydays. Kaiser White, who, in my opinion, probably walks in this offseason because...
Oh, my God. We're going to lose everybody.
N'Kobe Dean's in the hyperbolic time chamber just hanging out. He's waiting. So, and he plays Will. He's a better Will linebacker. So he's going to take Kaiser White's spot at some point. And then CJ, who I believe will get paid. I think there was probably some talks before the trade was made that, hey, play to your standard here at safety. We'll give you safety money. And it looks like CJ is probably going to get paid here.
Can we talk about him really quickly? Because it's very easy. Like, we knew he was a ball hawk and stuff like that. And he's doing that, obviously.
In the last two games.
So, for the people that may not know, like, fill us in. Besides that, like, how has his adjustment been? Like, because for a while, he kind of looked lost in this scheme. Like, he looked like he was having a hard time on the back end, you know, the defense. Like, how is he now, like, all around as a safety?
Yeah, he's still adjusting. He's still adjusting, but that's to be expected for a guy that joined the team like 6 days prior to the season started. But there's still some schematic miscommunications with Garner Johnson. He still has some things to clean up on the back end. But he only played 4 snaps total at safety in New Orleans during his career. So there's going to be some adjustments made. But for a guy, like I said, who's only been with the team for a handful of days before the season started, he's adjusting. He's learning on the job, essentially. And I think he's done well with the time that he's had thus far in Philadelphia. He and Marcus Epps are a headache back there. Marcus Epps, that man, did you see that breakup on that? I forget who Rush was throwing to, but that pass breakup where Epps like laid out for it, and ooh, he needs to work on his tackling a little bit, Marcus Epps, but man, his pass coverage has been phenomenal this season. That's another guy that's looking for a payday next offseason. He just needs to wrap people up. He's always going for the big hit, so he just needs to
There's somebody you haven't mentioned who, honestly, man, like the numbers like from this last game aren't going to look great, but I'm going to break it down really quickly on the offensive side of the ball, man. Miles Sanders, dude. 18 carries in this game, only a 3.9 average, but 18 carries.
Yeah.
18. He had a touchdown. He just looks stronger, more mature, and even hungrier. And obviously, it's a contract year, but I'm just saying, like, I just want to give him a shout out and some attention here because he's kind of, I mean, I would say he's answered the call, right?
Thus far, yeah, I think so. He stayed healthy, which was a big thing going into this year. He stayed healthy and he's been productive. You know, when the Eagles needed to lean on him, like they did in the Jacksonville game, they got production, and that's what they needed out of Miles. So if he stays healthy, he's certainly going to play himself into a contract. It's just that, is that contract coming from Philadelphia, and how wise is it to invest in a contract in running back at this point, at the way the NFL is right now? I don't know a whole lot of people who, when they get that contract, are worth it at the end of the day. So that's something the Eagles are going to think about moving forward. You know, as they we all know how they feel about the running back position. I was shocked when they drafted him to begin with, and if they pay him, I'd be shocked again. But speaking of the offense, the Eagles have scored 112 points in the second quarter in 2022, the most points by any team in any quarter in the first 6 games of a season in NFL history. So we're looking at the best second quarter team the game has ever seen right now. We're witnessing history with the way the Eagles perform in the second quarter. Now, we need to transfer that over to the second half, which would be nice. You can't give up 20-point leads. You can't only amount to 6 yards in the third quarter. That's not a recipe for success, and it's not going to work against teams that have their starting quarterback in the game, and they're going to have to figure that out down the road. Now, the schedule is easy as heck after the bye. Pittsburgh, Houston, you're not going to see a real challenge until potentially Green Bay on Sunday night, and the Eagles may well be 10-0 by then. So we'll see how they adjust moving forward. But it wouldn't be a recap podcast if we didn't talk about the signal caller, Jalen Hurts himself. Jalen Hurts had the best passer rating against Dallas's defense yet this season. Tom Brady in week 1 had an 87.3 passer rating against Dallas. Joe Burrow in week 2, 89.9. Daniel Jones in week 3, 57.9 passer rating. Carson Wentz in week 4, he struggled, 56.7 passer rating. Matthew Stafford in week 5, 86.2 passer rating. Jalen Hurts last week, the first quarterback to break 100, he had an 104.6 passer rating against Dallas's defense. 15 for 25, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns. And it just goes to show you that you don't need to have the offensive production that he had in Minnesota to win games, and I think that's what's the most daunting thing about the 2022 Eagles thus far.
Or against Washington. I thought that was, you could argue Washington was his best throwing game.
Mm-hmm. That's also true.
But I feel like the bye couldn't have come at a better time, because when you sit here, and as you mentioned, there's a good chance this team goes 10-0. To me, like, look, at this point, it's kind of unfortunate that the NFC East record-wise is so good, but like you want, and it's probably too early to start thinking about this, but you do want to start considering like preserving the health of everybody, because this is a marathon, you know, not a sprint. You like that? You like that, Jalen? Marathon, not a sprint. But like, that's just what's most important to me. Like, I'm not one of those people. To be honest, man, I don't want this team to go undefeated. Because then you got that big target on your back. It's like you kind of need a loss to happen. And unfortunately, here in Philadelphia, when that loss comes, if it does, like, hopefully the town doesn't fall upside down. I know I won't. But yeah, I mean, look, they have this bye week. It's like I said, coming at a great time. Maybe sit here and like, first and foremost, preserve health, but also like, you know, figure out like on the bright side, there isn't a whole lot of things that haven't worked. It's been a lot of good. So just kind of like cleaning up the things that aren't good, which is really the lack of production in the second half. And really quickly, like, I just want to touch on that because it seems like that's like the biggest thing here that that people try to use against this team, the biggest critique they have of this team. I think it's obviously a problem and needs to get cleaned up, and it will definitely be more of a problem against a good team. But the way I see it is, and I'll have to look at like the point differential leaders in the NFL and all that stuff, but we're undefeated, right? We're winning games. Like, for some odd reason, it just seems to be the third quarter and sometimes fourth quarters that this is an issue. But when you look around the league, like, I feel like it's more balanced. So if you look at other teams, like, they probably don't have necessarily a quarter where they're not productive. It's just kind of like a compilation of all four quarters. We just so happen for some reason to struggle in the third when we're up 20 freaking points. So of course, like, there's going to be some gas that's let up. The other team, like, just by the way the NFL works and how talented the NFL is, like, you're not going to win every single game by 20 points. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. They definitely get a conservative approach because they don't want to lose the game, you know, so that's certainly a contributing factor to how the Eagles operate in the second half. As far as Jalen Hurts is concerned, since 2000, how's this stat for you? Since 2000, only four quarterbacks have led their teams to 6-0 records while totaling 12 or more touchdowns and two or fewer turnovers. Peyton Manning in 2006, Brett Favre in 2009 with the Vikings, Tom Brady in 2015, and now Jalen Hurts in 2022. And at just 24 years old, man, oh man, it is a sight to behold. Philadelphia Eagles also lead the league in turnover differential at plus 12. Yep. The next best team is Baltimore at plus 4. Plus 4. They are the takeaways. They are taking the ball away, and they are taking care of it when they get there. Jalen Hurts has just two turnovers this year, Jalen Hurts. And the two picks he had were off batted balls.
Like, most important not much stat in football. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course. There's not much more you can ask from Jalen Hurts. And the Eagles, 112 points in the second quarter of 2022, is more than 11 teams' total points in every quarter in 2022. They have more points in that quarter alone.
That's what I was trying to get at with
the
whole,
Rams
like,
do, than the Packers do, than the Cowboys do, have total points in every quarter. In every quarter. The Eagles are just dominating. They're winning in every way possible, and they're 6-0. And they might not lose a game, like I said, until Green Bay. Looking at the schedule real quick, after the bye week is home against Pittsburgh. I don't care if it's banged up Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph. They're winning that game. Thursday night at the Texans, the 1-4 Texans, I believe. 1-3-1, sorry. The 1-3-1 Texans, that's a win. And then the Commanders come to Philly without Carson Wentz. It's going to be Heinicke, or maybe they'll do Sam Howell at that time. Who knows? So that's 9-0. The Colts at the Colts. The Colts stink. They're 3-2-1 somehow, but Matt Ryan is horrible. Maybe that's a trap situation, but they should win that game. That's 10-0. And then you're home against the Packers on Sunday night. And that might be, the Packers aren't good either this year, but that might be, you know, the game that the Eagles might have some trouble with. And then you're at your home against the Titans, and then you're at New York, and then you're at Chicago. So let's see, 10-0. Say hypothetically they beat the Packers, so 11-0. Titans 12-0. Giants 13-0. Bears 14-0. By that point, they'll have the division wrapped up, and then the Christmas Eve game at Dallas won't matter. So who knows if the starters will play that game? And then they play New Orleans, where they're incentivized. Or where they're incentivized to play well against the Saints for that draft pick. So they're going to have to play well. They might bring all the starters back against the Saints, and then obviously they'll bench everybody at the last game against the Giants. So they're motivated to play well against the Saints, and maybe they'll play some starters in that game. But man, it might be two, three losses at most, and two of them they'll give away because people will be benched.
We're just projecting here. It's all on paper. Everybody's like, oh, you know, any given Sunday. Obviously, that applies.
Yeah, clearly this is a trap. You know, a trap. Injuries happen. You know, who knows? You know, knock on wood. But it is a hell of a time to be an Eagles fan. A hell of a time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. Obviously, the Phillies lost to the Padres last night.
Except for the
still in the NLCS. We don't talk about the Sixers on this podcast. Sixers. get fucking run off the floor
by
Boston.
James Harden jersey, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, because Harden, you know, 35, Harden's back. But you need the rest of the team to figure it the fuck out. That'd be nice. But, yeah, man, Sixers, hopefully they get a win against the Bucks, because starting off 0-2 is not ideal. Do not want to see that. Union are doing good. Flyers just suffered their first loss, but they were looking good for a little bit. Philadelphia is on fire. Steven, any last points before we wrap this up and get up out of here?
No, just honestly, everybody just, you know, enjoy, sit back, enjoy football this weekend. I'm torn on the bye week every year, because it's like, it's nice to be able to enjoy other games without the Eagles playing, but I also miss this team, especially being 6-0. I just want to watch this team, you know, every day of the week. Need Detroit to get a win for us. Shout out to Dak Prescott, magically healthy 1 week after playing us. That's completely
24 hours later. I'm good to go.
Rug. He was too. Look, I don't care what the fucking doctor says. The biggest game of the year was against us. He did not want to play in that environment. And I don't care what these losers, these San Diego Padres fans, all these people say. The best sports environment right now is Philadelphia, and that's not even an argument. It is hostile. The Phillies seem to always win at home. You know, I don't want to jinx them. I'm knocking on my wood table right now, right? We 3 games in Philly coming up this weekend, right? Let's take care of business. You know, Eagles are a very, very good chance are going to have home field advantage, right, in the playoffs. Like, this is not a good environment to be in, and I just wanted to say it is pretty, what's the word? I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but it's very easy for Dak to come back and play Detroit instead of coming into the link when his team needed the win. They needed it. First place was on the line, man.
Instead, they put Cooper Rush out there for slaughter and had him throw 3 interceptions. Cooper Rush hadn't thrown a pick all year, and he threw 3 against the
Eagles. Let's not bag on him. Dallas is a bunch of losers out here.
Y'all
hating
some hating
on
ass, muff. Hating ass.
Come on, man. 4-0 is your starter, and you're going to bag him the first
no
time
interceptions.
He loses a game?
Those 3 picks. Oh, man, riddle me that. Appreciate
it. I think he had a better statistical, like all together than Prescott in his first, like, 4 games. It might be in Cowboys history, actually, or something. I saw somewhere. I don't know.
Looks like it's going to be Dak moving forward, and we'll keep tabs on the Eagles. The next pod episode during the bye week, we're going to do a mailbag, and then we'll do projected contracts for every free agent
coming
up.
Wait, we're doing a mailbag?
Yeah. That's new information. Yeah. Well, I'm going to put some on Twitter and Instagram and ask for questions, and we'll address those. And
oh, that'll be
go
fun.
From where, and then we'll also do projected contracts. See, we'll do a stay or go edition. Who should the Eagles keep? Who's probably going to walk this and that? And that includes Jalen
Hurts.
Maybe
we could do that this weekend.
Numbers.
Man, in person.
Jalen Hurts, new numbers.
Yeah. You heard?
We got the new you said this weekend?
Yeah, maybe bring your equipment. We'll do it in person so we don't have to deal with this bullshit.
Okay. Appreciate Sunday. You guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod. Again, apologies that we were gone for a little bit. We came back from Arizona out of our minds, and we had to, you know, remember that life is a thing, and we had to get back on track. But thank you guys for being patient with us. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the show. If you're new, be sure to subscribe. Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. If you're a returning listener, thank you guys for coming back each and every episode. Follow me, the host, Victor Williams, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at The Philly Pod. Be sure to go follow Steven at Steven Conrad Jr. on Instagram, at Real Steven Conrad Jr. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace out from The Philly Pod. Go Birds, baby.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.